Child, touch my soul with your cries, and the music will know what we found. I hear 100 goodbyes, but today I hear only one sound. The moment we're living is now.
Hello and welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show with Dad's Point of View. I'm Bruce Salen, and you can email me questions at bruce@brucesalen.com. And you can follow me at Twitter, at Bruce Salen. It is time for the first of two segments of political talk, rap, whatever you want to call it, with Sherrilyn Harley Laban, who was a political appointee in the George W. Bush administration, a spokesman at the Republican National Committee, a regular guest on the Fox News Channel, and as a contributor to Town Hall and a lot of other things. You can follow her at Harley Laban. That's Harley like Davidson, L-E-B-O-N on Twitter. Welcome back to the show, Harley, I was going to call you. Sherrilyn.
I know. It is great to be with you, as always, every week, Bruce.
Well, it's a joy. I learned from you so much, and I think you bring a lot of knowledge and awareness and extreme credibility to my listeners. For those that do not understand, this is radio, therefore you do not see us. You could probably tell that Sherrilyn is female, but you probably don't know that she's African-American. So an African-American female who is conservative and her thinking is about as, as unusual as a liberal Jew in Hollywood, which I was. So
Well, I must say, the numbers are growing. We used to be a rare breed, but I've got to tell you, with the development of all these different forms of social media, it's really brought a lot of people together, and I must say, brought out other conservatives from around the country that you didn't know were actually conservative. So I find that rather delightful.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I would just like to see the black community just get a little bit off of this follow the leader.
I know. I mean, it's troubling. And again, when you look at the state of black America under this president's watch, it's pretty abysmal. The number of blacks, I mean, and I'm not even touching the other minority groups. I'm just kind of focusing on black people right now. The number of blacks that have increased on the food stamp rolls, the rate of black unemployment among youth, it's close to 40%.
And how about black on black crime?
And let's just talk about how the prisons are filled to capacity with young black men. Because why? I don't want to be making excuses for anyone, but the bottom line here is there are not a lot of opportunities in these urban communities, which, you know, he is the occupant in the White House. He's the president of the free world. He's got all these initiatives and programs that he's coming up with. So, you know, about a couple months ago, or maybe it was 6 weeks ago, this is supposed to start this dialogue about black men. And I said, dialogue? Who cares about dialogue? Let's talk about creating some jobs. Let's talk about, you know, providing incentives for businesses to move into these urban, you know, communities. Because, you know, when companies start to go into, you know, and nice grocery stores start going into communities, you know, everyone else starts cleaning up, jobs come in. I mean, you know, it's a whole ripple effect. Why not come up with that kind of program?
Well, that would be good. But you forget, he has his number one advisor when it comes to the black community is Reverend Al Sharpton. So he's got Mr. Cocaine himself giving him advice, and Mr. Shield and Sword use of his race, Attorney General
Holder.
Britt Holm said it so well on Fox News the other day. He said that they use race, the two of them, as both a shield and a sword.
Yeah,
if
absolutely.
If you do anything that questions them, you're accused of being a racist, particularly if you're
absolutely.
White.
Absolutely.
And they use it as a weapon to defend their cause. It's such a lame example for anybody, let alone the black community. I mean, that's stand up on your own two feet. I mean, I saw somebody on the news the other day that said, I don't even like the guy. The guy who's the comic on Bill O'Reilly. He's got his own talk show.
Dennis Miller.
I'm not a big fan of his because I met him once in real life and he was horribly arrogant, but he's funny and he's good. And he basically said, look, I just don't like his policies. I just don't like the guy. I don't think he's doing good for the country. I don't care what color he is. Call me a racist because for sure I'll be called a racist for saying that.
He's right. I don't care what the color of his skin might be, could be purple, but I'm looking at the policies and what have you done for this country? And as a black woman, I say, you know, since we are talking about race and since this is a president who is, I think, created more divisiveness on the issue of race, let's go there. And if we are going to go there, then I'm going to say, what have you done for the black community? What have you done for young black males? What about a jobs program? I mean, and, you know, if you really just look at the facts in terms of, you know, unemployment, the past 6 years of this administration, it's pretty abysmal, Bruce. I mean, just break it down. Horrible. Let's look at the facts.
Well, let's also talk about what is that theme of my show, although I get away from it more and more with every subsequent show, which is where are the fathers in the black community? And
where
when Bill Cosby decries the absence of fathers, you know, some people listen, but it's gigantic. When you don't have the men in the home, it's a huge problem. And the moms are Herculean and heroic in so many ways, but the ones that just have multiple babies, I'm sorry, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
And then the ones who, you know, do have a man and the man just skips out because he doesn't want to deal with it. This is a gigantic problem. And the irony, we've talked about this before. In the Jim Crow days, the black family was unbelievably strong.
Absolutely.
When there was genuine racism...
And we talked about this on your show during the War on Poverty. I said, if you look back in history, with the development of social programs, which started in the early to mid-1960s, and LBJ, as in Lyndon Baines Johnson, when you look at the development and the onset of those policies, that is when you started to see the breakdown of the black family. Because why? You were being essentially rewarded for not having a man in the home. You
could
have more children.
It's an abomination.
That's really the bottom line. And for me also, as a mom of two children, a little boy and a little girl, when I see these young girls, you know, of all races, you know, sort of first of all, getting sexually involved at an early age, and then the next leap is to having these out-of-wedlock children, you know, to me it really boils down to self-esteem. Because if you have self-confidence and self-esteem, and yes, good role models, but again, you know, that comes back to the self-esteem and self-confidence, then you aren't going to do those types of things.
Talk about the role models. We have somebody like Beyonce, who could be the most amazing role model, yet her last album and her last video had the most trashy,
over-sexual
stuff in it.
Yeah.
And I go, shame on her.
And
Jay-Z have the opportunity to do such good in the world.
Right. Right. And, you know, and that goes across the board, I think, in the entertainment industry, which,
again,
raising children.
It's not just African-Americans. Absolutely.
It's raising children.
We have to take a break.
It goes to the degradation of women in our society. And, again, I think that is directly linked, Bruce, to the self-esteem and self-confidence. Because when these little girls look at... You know, really, this is the degradation of women in society. When they see the entertainers up there and music videos and Taylor Swift and Britney and Madonna. I mean, Madonna is still a figure for many people and for even, you know, young people.
Yeah.
When they see this just, you know, if they think that and they see the images that, wow, I can get a lot of attention by showing more skin. Or who's the little girl who did that horrible, the twerking? Miley Cyrus. I mean, She went from Hannah Montana, the sweet little girl, to Miley Cyrus. I saw her do an interview when, frankly, her legs were just about spread eagle on national television. I was mortified. And all I could think of is what parent would be proud to see their daughter sit very unladylike on national television. I was mortified as a parent to see that.
Well, we got to take a break. We can continue this and all the other things. I might add just a little note. Last week, I had Billy Ray Cyrus, her father, as my guest on Dad Chat. So just a little funny aside, you probably didn't know that.
No, I did not.
And it was very interesting. It was huge, but it was very interesting. He has a new song out on bullying, and it's a really noble cause, I must say. So it's always a little bit more nuanced when you get to know the details of somebody, and she's an adult. Anyway, stay tuned for more with Sherilyn after these messages.
Struggle and doubt, trouble their mind day in and day out. They're busy a living to worry about a thing called love. But when I see a mother's tenderness as she holds her young close to her breast, then I thank God this world's been blessed with a thing called love.